This is the download of Sport and the British from the BBC. You can find the terms and conditions on our website at bbc.co.uk/radio4. Sport and the British is presented by Claire Balding.
Football is more than a passion. It's an obsession, and it is absolutely central to South American life. The FIFA World Cup has been staged 19 times, and on 9 of those occasions, it's been won by either Brazil, Argentina, or Uruguay.
Sport and the British. Exporting football.
Football is the world game, and it was Britain who took it to the world. Unlike cricket and rugby, which were spread by soldiers, civil servants and settlers in British colonies, football took a different route. It was taken around the world by those who had made Britain the greatest trading nation in the world, by managers, engineers and teachers. Football came to Europe through business links to the new industrial regions, the ports, the coalfields, the textile factories of Belgium and northern France, the Ruhr in Germany, the north of Italy. Think of AC Milan rather than AC Milano, and Switzerland with their young boys of Bern or grasshoppers of Zurich. British influence was even more striking in South America, where British businesses dominated the economy in what's been described as the informal empire. The writer David Goldblatt explains.
In the late 19th century, there are an enormous number of Britons all over Latin America. I mean, in Buenos Aires in the 1870s, there are 40,000 Britons in a city of perhaps 100,000 people. So in Buenos Aires in the 1870s, you have this large number of expatriate Britons, English-style schools. And what do they do when they're not working? Like the British everywhere, like the British at home, they start playing sport, they create sports clubs. Now, the first things they start playing are polo and cricket. But in the 1870s onwards, football begins to arrive. And what we see all across Latin America is a process where small groups of Britons begin playing football. Very quickly after that, the local elites take to that game because the game as British has an extraordinary social cachet about it. And then what's so interesting about Latin America is within a decade of local elites starting to play football, it becomes the game of the masses.
With its vast mineral and agricultural resources, the area was extremely valuable to Europe. But Latin Americans didn't have the means of making the most of what they had, so Britain took advantage and ran many of the banks, the import-export businesses, and even the railways. And with them, the British brought their schools, their churches, their hospitals, and their sports clubs. Take Argentina. Only 4 years after the Football Association had been formed in London, William and Thomas Hogg founded the first football club in South America, Buenos Aires FC. But football really took root with the arrival of Alexander Watson Hutton. Professor Tony Mason explains.
Watson Hutton came to Argentina in 1882. He was a graduate of Edinburgh University. He came to teach at St Andrew's Scottish School in Buenos Aires. But in 1884, he set up his own English high school and hired a teacher from England to teach PE and games, including football. He set up the Argentine Association Football League in 1893. He was the first president of a league which began with only five clubs and has been going more or less ever since.
From 1898 to 1912, the dominant club in Argentina was Alumni. Founded by former pupils of Watson Hutton's school, the club's aim was to play well without passion and to maintain the British stiff upper lip. They won 10 championships and they gave any profit from their games to charity. As for the genuinely indigenous sides, River Plate was founded in 1901, Independiente and Boca Juniors in 1905. And British teams like Southampton, Nottingham Forest, Everton and Tottenham came in the first decade of the 20th century to play exhibition matches against the local sides.
Just to give you a sense of how soccer mad Buenos Aires and Montevideo is, I have a quote here from Sam Allen, who was the manager of the 1912 touring side Swindon Town, who played in Buenos Aires and Montevideo to huge crowds. And he wrote, I've never seen such enthusiasm for the game as shown by the two republics, and everywhere one sees the hold it has taken on the people. Boys on the street, on the seashore, down alleys, soldiers on barrack grounds, all have the fever. And when I say that one firm alone in Buenos Aires has just given an order in England for 5,000 of one particular make of football, the immense attraction the game has out there will be realised.
These relatively young clubs in Argentina were fast acquiring the skill, the flair and the passion that we see today. Their style allowed individuals to shine rather than the team playing as one unit. Across the Rio de la Plata, football was also flourishing in Uruguay. As the writer and journalist Eduardo Galeano has documented, the British influence was strong. As in Argentina, the game of football had been brought to Uruguay by British teachers and schoolboys, and again, its popularity took off. By the 1920s, the national teams of Uruguay and Argentina were amongst the best in the world. The Olympics of 1924 and 28 were won by Uruguay, with Argentina finishing runners-up. And the first World Cup, held in Uruguay, was won by the hosts, beating their neighbours Argentina in the final. Since those early days, another South American nation has taken over as the leading exponent of the beautiful game. Brazil. Brazil embraced the game at the same time as Argentina and Uruguay, but their adoption of football wasn't so much a result of British political or economic influence, but it was thanks to one sporty young man, Charles Miller.
Born in Rio de Janeiro to an English father and a Brazilian mother, he was sent, like many of the Anglo-Brazilian elite, home for his education. So in the late 1880s and early 1890s, he's back in Britain playing football for his public school and also playing for the county, for Hampshire. He returns to Rio de Janeiro in 1894 and he brings with him the rules of association football and a couple of balls. And through the Sao Paulo Athletic Club, an elite institution that he's a member of, he organises the first game of known football in the 1890s in Brazil. And it's played on a piece of scrub land on the edge of Sao Paulo. They had to clear away the mules that used to graze there. And it was a very haphazard game, played between a railway team and a team of English expats who worked for the gas industry in Sao Paulo. But it seems to have been a great success. And over the next 5 years, Sao Paulo elite society, both Anglo but also Brazilian, goes absolutely wild for football. And by 1902, they've got a proper city championship going. And when the final is played, it is the social event of the year.
Football was spreading and the first Sao Paulo championship was staged in 1902. Archie MacLean, a machine mechanic working for a Scottish firm, set up the Scottish Wanderers in 1911. Meanwhile, in Rio, the number of football clubs expanded when Oscar Cox, an Anglo-Brazilian who was from one of the richest families in the area, set up his own club, Fluminense. He filled it with his wealthy friends, many of whom had been educated in Europe, and it acquired the sheen of glamour. Suddenly, football was the place to be seen for all sections of society. Football was spreading rapidly across the city. Tony Mason.
A simple, cheap, but exciting game like football couldn't remain the monopoly of elites for long. In the fast-growing South American cities of Rio de Janeiro, Sao Paulo, Montevideo, Buenos Aires, football spread downwards with remarkable speed, encouraged by local press coverage. Young male immigrants from Italy and Spain joined or formed clubs to play, to socialise, which soon began to produce a line of Pibe d'Oro, golden boys, stars from the people, Garrincha, Pelé, Maradona, Tevez and Messi, whose magical ball control and dribbling skills are still raising football, the game without frontiers, to new levels.
The British had introduced football to South America, but it very quickly took on its own life and character. At first, football was dominated by the urban elite, the wealthy fashionistas who made the game sexy. These young and rich South Americans changed the style of football. And when it spread rapidly into every town, every village, and onto the plains, it became a game in which talent could shine and flair could be expressed. And there is an argument that the culture of tango, with its passion, its rhythm and suppleness of movement, has influenced the way Latin Americans play football. Meanwhile, the fairy tale of the kid raised in the slums becoming an international football star still comes true today. Look at Carlos Tevez. He was born to impoverished parents in Fuerto Apache near Buenos Aires. It's known as one of the most dangerous neighbourhoods in the whole of Argentina because of its high crime rate. But Tevez is now one of the most valuable and highest paid footballers in the world. Brazil is the only country to have competed in all of the 19 World Cups staged so far, and with 5 wins, it's the most successful nation in World Cup history. The British may have introduced the game to South America, but there's no doubt that between them, Brazil, Uruguay and Argentina have turned it into something more beautiful and more successful. Latin America has made football its own.
Thank you for downloading Sport and the British from the BBC.